Welcome back to the HRBC Encounter podcast, the podcast where we asked Lydia, if she was a type of chocolate bar, which one would she be?
Oh my goodness, that was so unexpected. I was thinking about all the random questions you might ask me and that one did not come up, so I'm not prepared. So with Easter and all the chocolate at Easter, my mum was buying loads of discounted Easter chocolate and she's bought a lot of like the Reese's cup style things, and I'm a big peanut butter fan, so it's not a bar but like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yes, I can get behind that. That is nice. Yeah. That said, let's roll the intro music. Hi everyone, welcome back. I'm Sophie. I am a second year psychology student at the University of Winchester. Welcome back to our podcast.
Yeah, my name's Josh. I'm one of the other hosts. I'm 19 years old. I volunteer part-time at Holland Road Baptist Church, and I also teach guitar part-time. So today we're interviewing Lydia, and I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself in just a moment. But first,
I thought I'd explain the kind of story behind how we came to ask Lydia, how we came to ask you to join us today. So a few weeks back, when we were planning the podcast and who we could interview, I thought we could talk to Lydia, the paramedic, which we did last week. We talked to Lydia and Jack about their jobs as paramedics at the moment. So go check that out if you haven't. But basically, I was planning and I wanted to know people's surnames, and I didn't have Lydia the paramedic's surname. So I looked her up on Facebook, and then the first result that appeared was Lydia Chester. And I thought, ah, that must be her. Of course, it wasn't, because you're Lydia Chester. But I clicked on your profile, and the most recent page was something about your dissertation, about social work with children in orphanages. I just thought it was really interesting. I didn't really look into it too much more, but we have you here with us today. But I'll hand it over to Lydia to introduce yourself, and then, yeah, we can talk more about that. So, Lydia.
Great. Hello. So I'm Lydia. I am 23, and I'm in my final year at the University of Sussex. Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Well, before you went to uni, you did some mission and social work. So could you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so mainly in 2016, I had the opportunity to go to South Africa for a bit, where I helped out at a children's village. I went to Malta for a little while, where we helped with a conference with the Charismatic Catholic Church, which was really cool. I went to Nicaragua for 3 months and did something with water and sanitation. And then the following year, in 2017, I went to Haiti, which was less, I wouldn't personally have called it volunteering. It was more, so I grew up in the Methodist Church, and it was a Methodist Church thing. And you're essentially going over to see what the Methodist Church was doing in Haiti, because it's growing there, and kind of just learn from them, learn about their culture, learn about the country. That was a really cool experience. It's also where I met my fiancé.
So that was 2016, 2017. So you would have been 19?
Yeah, I would have been 19 and then 20.
Cool, that's really, really interesting. And then kind of moving on from that, so what are you studying now, and how does it follow on from that social mission work that you were doing?
Yeah. So following going to Haiti, so that summer, so 2017, I started studying international development at the University of Sussex. The way I kind of try to describe it to people is it's kind of a mix of like geography, history, economics, politics, sociology, like social sciencey kind of stuff. And then looking at that on kind of like the global scale, I think it can be quite flexible because you get quite a lot of choice with your modules. So you can kind of have it be what you want it to be. So for me, it was a lot of stuff surrounding ideas of social justice and human rights. You look a lot at like race, gender, class, health, things like that, poverty. Yeah.
Yeah, I always find it interesting to learn about courses that I haven't studied, just see what it's like. But moving on from that, so what we're going to be mainly talking about is your dissertation, which me and Josh know a little bit about, but obviously you know the most. So what is the topic of your dissertation?
Yeah, so I'm looking at orphanage volunteering, and I can't give you an exact title because you say that I should probably know more. It's interesting. Maybe I do. Still figuring it out. Orphanage volunteering, kind of like the different motivations or the factors kind of going into that, like why do people do it, and when they do it, what does that experience actually look like, what's the impact of that for the volunteer themselves, but also for the children in the orphanages, for the surrounding community, the kind of like care system as a whole.
Yeah, so you did the volunteering yourself, then you went on to study about it now. So how is it a personal thing for you, and how has it changed you personally?
Yeah, so for me, it really ties into my story and my journey with God, which led me to choosing to do it for my dissertation. I've always been really interested in social justice. My church at home has always been super, super into social justice, so I've grown up around it a lot. And then as like a young teenager in particular, I started feeling really called to working with orphans and vulnerable children. It's something that I felt God really break my heart for. So in the Bible, so James 1:27, for example, where it says about caring for orphans, and in lots of other places as well, I could see God's heart for it. And it's something that people around me, I'd seen them do, work overseas in particular with vulnerable children. So it's something that I started to reconcile, knowing God's heart for justice, and then also seeing in the world that there were these issues that were putting children in vulnerable positions. So for me, I kind of felt like the logical thing to do was therefore to start an orphanage. Which I didn't do, just to clarify. I felt like that made it sound like I had started to run. I felt called to start an orphanage. It wasn't, that was a bit of a tangent. I do apologise. So I felt called to start an orphanage. I thought the first step would maybe be to volunteer with children overseas. A lot of things happened with me. I had lots of different experiences, but I was also very kindly challenged about the importance of being educated in development work. So I found myself at uni, which I was never expecting to do. I very much thought I was going to leave sixth form and just go out to another country and start changing the world. And then through uni itself and just personally conversations I had and learning that I did and praying, I came to learn a lot more about the issues surrounding orphanages and just generally institutionalization of children. If you're faced with an image of children on the streets or children without parents, it kind of makes sense that there would then be a home and a building for people to care for them and to take them in. But what I came to learn is that for the majority of children, so about 80% of children that live in orphanages overseas, actually have living parents. And what can often happen is orphanages can be built as like a response to what the issue seems. So basically what I wanted to do. And then parents can either be quite corrupt, but sometimes it's not corrupt at all. Parents can just feel like they have to give their children up because it seems like it's a better life for them. But the actual being in an institution and not having like a primary caregiver, and then especially if they receive volunteers, that can create some like damaging like attachment issues. Just generally the picture that God gives us of family and children being in families is kind of distorted, which it doesn't need to be, which is the sad thing, because if children were orphans, then it would kind of have a bit more of a place. But because a lot of the time they're not, it can sometimes seem a bit inappropriate. But put out a disclaimer, not all residential care institutions are negative. They definitely have a place, like particularly for children who have additional needs or need short-term care. They can play such an important role in, just like looking after children. Mm-hmm. But particularly in a global context, they can often end up doing more harm than good. Yeah.
That's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. I was just wondering, like, from what you're saying, what some of the things that you found through your dissertation have been, or something that has surprised you through it?
I think something that I was partly expecting to find because the people I was interviewing for my research are very much people who were in the exact same place I was in, so I could relate a lot to them, is the idea of having good intentions, and particularly from a Christian perspective. Like, if you feel really strongly that God has put orphans on your heart, and if you feel like you're so sincere in wanting to help that no bad can come out of it. And I think it's a really difficult thing, because like, I do believe that particularly when we do things with God behind us, that he will just like work it through his good.
Yeah.
But I think I've come to learn particularly is that as well-intentioned as you are, and as much as you love God and you want to serve him, if you don't know what it is that you're doing and what's best for the people that you're serving, it can end up actually causing more harm. So for example, something that helped me understand it quite a lot is if you wanted to be a doctor, you would obviously train to become a doctor, and you'd have to go through all of these different procedures to be like legally qualified to perform certain things. But because development work or work with orphans and vulnerable children in a global context can maybe seem a bit more informal, people can sometimes have the misconception that you don't need to be qualified to do that kind of thing, or you don't need to have any particular knowledge, because it seems like a really simple issue with a really simple solution, like I said at the beginning, just get them somewhere. But in reality, development work is a lot more complicated than I think it can sometimes appear. Yeah. So as much as we like to think that because we're trying to do something good, it will therefore be good, yeah, it's quite a difficult thing to then realise that actually, like, your heart and your good intentions could be causing harm.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've mentioned it's a really kind of complex and tricky thing to tackle, but we were going to look at kind of linking in some information. So yeah, if you wanted to kind of briefly mention those things, but also maybe just some like tips that you could give. I don't know if there are like solid quick things that we could take away in that sense.
Yeah. Something that helped me, think it through a bit more is that so God calls all of us as the church to pursue biblical justice. And within that, there's the call to advocating for orphans and vulnerable children. So within all of that, one of the key things that we as the church need to do, particularly if you feel like very specifically led in that area, is to try and restore God-given dignity and purpose and love in a way that's honouring to those people. And to do that, one of the really important things that we do is be educated in the way that you're supporting. So speaking from like what I know, if you feel called, or if you even just feel like a heart for vulnerable children and orphans, and it like God has broken your heart for that, just please like just be think about it, educate yourself about it. It's not as simple as just seeing it on the media, because it can be quite distorted. I think one of the resources that I really recommend is a book called When Helping Hurts, and one of their like taglines of it is, if you want to love people well, you'll educate yourself on how best to do it. Yeah. And I think also like knowing that volunteering itself overseas isn't a bad thing. Like it brings God joy for us to join with like the global church and to like see other cultures and learn from people. But it's just doing that in a way that is really honoring to his people.
Yeah.
So yeah, just, I think, don't be reckless with it. It can be really, really exciting, and so much good can be brought out of it. But just, yeah, make sure that you're doing the absolute best that you can do for God's people, because that's what they deserve. So yeah, When Helping Hurts, the book. Also, the organisation Home for Good have a project called the Homecoming Project, which is, yeah, all about this kind of issue. It's a Christian organisation. They're really responsive to just chatting to people. They've got loads of information on their website. They're really great. Yeah, and obviously, like, I'm willing to talk to anyone. I realise this is, like, quite short. I said to Sophie and Josh beforehand I could talk about this for hours. So if anyone wants to speak about this at all, like, I'm totally up for that.
Yeah, maybe we could, like, link in your Instagram or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. We'll link that in underneath in the description. I'll also link in those
those books. But I think basically it's, yeah, just being able to kind of look up and be and have a certainty about where you're going, what you're doing. I mean, that's kind of what I've understood. I'm sure there's lots of other good projects and organizations. But yeah, so for anyone out there who's hoping to do anything like that on a gap year, I think that's kind of the main message is to look it up and research it really well, from my understanding.
I found it really interesting what you were saying about the attachment with a primary caregiver sometimes being lost. So as I mentioned, I study psychology and we do a whole attachment module. And so we look at the importance of that caregiver interaction and all of that stuff. And I've never considered the impact of that overseas rather than just in our culture. So that was really interesting, actually. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's all we have time for today's podcast. This has been the HRBC Encounter podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. And thank you, Lydia, for coming and chatting with us about that.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. You can follow us on Instagram at encounter_HR. We post a new podcast every week on Wednesday. So look out for that. That's on the Holland Road website. Lydia, is there any way that we could pray for you and for everything that we've been talking about, so the situation overseas?
Yeah, I mean, I think just like praying that God can release people into ways of being able to serve him, so particularly in like the sphere of social justice and caring for vulnerable children and orphans, that this message won't be restricting and people won't feel kind of oppressed by it, but that God can really release people into knowing that he can equip us and he can be educated in loving his people so well and just bringing so much restoration in his name.
Cool. All right, let's pray. Jesus, I pray now that you can release people to serve in social justice, to serve orphans, that this message won't be restricting. I pray for anyone listening who has a heart for the vulnerable, for them to be inspired, for them to know that the harvest is plentiful, but that the workers are few. I pray that you will be filling those people with your Holy Spirit so that they can learn, find out information, and so that they can go and help those people who need it. I pray against any unintended harm, but pray that you be working for the good of your people. I thank you for organizations who already do so much, some of them which we've even just mentioned today. I pray for the extra need in this time of the virus. I pray for families that might be struggling here or abroad. And yeah, I pray that you'd be providing for them through the work of your people. Thank you that you're just a loving God. I also just want to thank you for Lydia and all she's learnt, and that she can help people understand how to tackle this need. I pray that you use her mightily. Thank you, Jesus. And yeah, I just pray that you'd be with each person listening to this now, and that you'd be working in them and inspiring each of them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. Thank you so much, guys. And I'll see you next Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.